Thus have I yielded up into your hand the circle of my glory.
Take again from this my hand, as holding of the Pope, your sovereign greatness and authority.
Now keep your holy word. Go meet the French, and from His Holiness use all your power to stop their marches, for we are inflamed. Our discontented counties do revolt. Our people quarrel with obedience, swearing allegiance and the love of soul to stranger blood, to foreign royalty. This inundation of mistempered humor rests by you only to be qualified. Then pause not, for the present time so sick that present medicine must be ministered, or overthrow incurable ensues.
It was my breath that blew this tempest up upon your stubborn usage of the Pope. But since you are a gentle convertite, my tongue shall hush again this storm of war and make fair weather in your blustering land. On this Ascension Day, remember well, upon your oath of service to the Pope, go I to make the French lay down their arms.
Is this Ascension Day? Did not the prophet say that before Ascension Day at noon, my crown I should give off? Even so I have. I did suppose it should be unconstrained. But heaven be thanked, it is but voluntary.
All Kent hath yielded. Nothing there holds out but Dover Castle. London hath received, like a kind host, the Dolphin and his powers. Your nobles will not hear you, but are gone to offer service to your enemy. And wild amazement hurries up and down the little number of your doubtful friends.
Would not my lords return to me again after they heard young Arthur was alive?
They found him dead and cast into the streets. An empty casket where the jewel of life by some damned hand was robbed and ta'en away.
That Van Hubert told me he did live!
So for aught he knew. But wherefore do you droop? Why look you sad? Be great in act as you have been in thought. Let not the world see fear and sad distrust govern the motion of a kingly eye. Be sterling as the time. Be fire with fire. Threaten the threatener and outface the brow of bragging horror. So shall inferior eyes that borrow their behaviors from the great grow great by your example. And put on the dauntless spirit of resolution. Away, and glister like the god of war when he intendeth to become the field. Show boldness and aspiring confidence. What? Shall they seek the lion in his den and fright him there? And make him tremble there? Oh, let it not be said. Forage, and run to meet displeasure farther from the doors, and grapple with him ere he come so nigh.
The legate of the Pope hath been with me. And I have made a happy peace with him. And he hath promised to dismiss the powers led by the Dolphin.
Oh, inglorious league! Shall we, upon the footing of our land, send fair play orders and make compromise, insinuation, parley, and base truce to arms invasive? Shall a beardless boy, a cockered silken wanton, brave our fields, and flesh his spirit in a warlike soil, mocking the air with colours idly spread, and find no check? Let us, my liege, to arms. Chance the cardinal cannot make your peace, or if he do, let it at least be said they saw we had a purpose of defence.
Have thou the ordering of this present time?
Away then with good courage. Yet I know our party may well meet a prouder foe.
My Lord Melun, let this be copied out and keep it safe for our remembrance. Return the precedent to those lords again, that having our fair order written down, both they and we, perusing all these notes, may know wherefore we took the sacrament and keep our faiths firm and inviolable.
Upon our sides it never shall be broken. And noble Dolphin, albeit we swear a voluntary zeal and an unurged faith to your proceedings, yet believe me, Prince, I am not glad that such a sore of time should seek a plaster by contemned revolt, and heal the inveterate canker of one wound by making many. No. It grieves my soul that I must draw this metal from my side to be a widowmaker. Oh, and there where honorable rescue and defense cries out upon the name of Salisbury. But such is the infection of the time, that for the health and physic of our right we cannot deal but with the very hand of stern injustice and confused wrong. And is not pity, O my grieved friends, that we, the sons and children of this isle, were born to see so sad an hour as this, wherein we step after a stranger, march upon her gentle bosom, and fill up her enemy's ranks? I must withdraw and weep upon the spot of this enforced cause, to grace the gentry of a land remote, and follow unacquainted colors here. What here? O nation, that thou couldst remove, that Neptune's arms, who clippeth thee about, would bear thee from the knowledge of thyself, and grapple thee unto a pagan shore, where these two Christian armies might combine the blood of malice in a vein of league, and not to spend it so unneighborly.
A noble temper dost thou show in this, and great affections wrestling in my bosom doth make an earthquake of nobility. Oh, what a noble combat hast thou fought between compulsion and a brave respect. Let me wipe off this honorable dew that silverly doth progress on thy cheeks. My heart hath melted at a lady's tears, being an ordinary inundation, but this effusion of such manly drops, this shower blown up by tempest of the soul, startles mine eyes, and makes me more amazed than I had seen the vaulty top of heaven figured quite o'er with burning meteors. Lift up thy brow, renowned Salisbury, and with a great heart heave away this storm. Commend these waters to those baby eyes that never saw the giant world enraged, nor met with fortune other than at feasts, full warm of blood, of mirth, of gossiping. Come, come, for thou shalt thrust thy hand as deep into the purse of rich prosperity as Louis himself. So noble shall you all that knit your sinews to the strength of mine. And even there methinks an angel spake. Look where the holy legate comes apace to give us warrant from the hand of heaven, and on our actions set the name of right with holy breath.
Hail, noble prince of France. The next is this. King John hath reconciled himself to Rome. His spirit is come in that so stood out against the holy church, the great metropolis and sea of Rome. Therefore, thy threatening colors now wind up, and tame the savage spirit of wild war that, like a lion fostered up at hand, it may lie gently at foot of peace, and be no further harmful than in show.
Your grace shall pardon me, I will not back. I am too high-born to be propertied, to be a secondary at control or useful serving man and instrument to any sovereign state throughout the world. Your breath first kindled the dead coal of wars between this chastised kingdom and myself, and brought in matter that should feed this fire. And now 'tis far too huge to be blown out with that same weak wind which enkindled it. You taught me how to know the face of right, acquainted me with interest to this land, yea, thrust this enterprise into my heart. And come ye now to tell me John hath made his peace with Rome. What is that peace to me? I, by the honor of my marriage bed, after young Arthur, claim this land for mine. And now it is half conquered, must I back, because that John hath made his peace with Rome? Am I Rome's slave? What penny hath Rome borne? What men provided? What munitions sent to underprop this action? Is't not I that undergo this charge? Who else but I and such as to my claim are liable sweat in this business and maintain this war? Have I not heard these islanders shout out Vive le Roi as I have banked their towns? Have I not here the best cards for the game to win this easy match played for a crown? And shall I now give o'er the yielded set? No, no, on my soul it never shall be said.
You look but on the outside of this work.
Outside or inside, I will not return till my attempt so much be glorified as to my hope was promised before I drew this gallant head of war and culled these fiery spirits from the world to outlook conquest and to win renown even in the jaws of danger and of death. What lusty trumpet thus doth summon us?
According to the fair play of the world, let me have audience. I am sent to speak. My holy lord of Milan, from the king I come to learn how you have dealt for him, and as you answer, I do know the scope and warrant limited unto my tongue.
The dolphin is too willful opposite and will not temporize with my entreaties. He flatly says he'll not lay down his arms.
By all the blood that ever fury breathed, the youth says well. Now hear our English king, for thus his royalty doth speak in me. He is prepared, and reason too he should. This apish and unmannerly approach, this harnessed mask and unadvised revel, this unheard sauciness and boyish troops, the king doth smile at, and is well prepared to whip this dwarfish war, this pygmy arms from out the circle of his territories. That hand which had the strength, even at your door, to cudgel you and make you take the hatch, to dive like buckets in concealed wells, to crouch in litter of your stable planks, to lie like pawns locked up in chests and trunks, to hug with swine, seek sweet safety out in vaults and prisons, and to thrill and shake even at the crying of your nation's crow, thinking his voice an armed Englishman, shall that victorious hand be feebled here that in your chambers gave you chastisement? No! No, the gallant monarch is in arms, and like an eagle o'er his airy towers to souse annoyance that comes near his nest. And you degenerate, you ingrate rebels, you bloody Neros, ripping up the womb of your dear mother England, blush for shame. For your own ladies and pale-visaged maids like Amazons come tripping after drums. Their thimbles into armed gauntlets change, their needles to lances, and their gentle hearts to fierce and bloody inclination.
Therein, thy brave, and turn thy face in peace. We grant thou canst outscold us. Fare thee well, we hold our time too precious to be spent with such a brabbler.
Give me leave to speak.
No, I will speak.
We will attend to neither. Strike up the drums and let the tongue of war plead for our interest and our being here.
Indeed, your drums, being beaten, will cry out, and so shall you, being beaten. Do but start an echo with the clamour of thy drum, and even at hand a drum is ready braced that shall reverberate all as loud as thine. Sound but another, and another shall as loud as thine rattle the welkin's ear and mock the deep-mouthed thunder. For at hand, not trusting to this halting legate here, whom he hath used rather for sport than need, is warlike John, and in his forehead sits a bare-ribbed death, whose office is this day to feast upon whole thousands of the French.
Strike up our drums to find this danger out.
And thou shalt find it, Dolphin, do not doubt.